The planet is heating up. People are restless. And the rich run everything. The revolution will not be televised, but it will be broadcast over the next hour live on Radio Chaser.
Welcome to the program. Chris Taylor is here. Andrew Hanson's here. Charles Firth is with us. My name is Dom Knight. On the show today, Charles Firth almost got in trouble with the cops this morning. He's going to explain why very shortly.
Because I'm a rebel, that's why.
Not quite. Chris Taylor has a million-dollar idea for you. And if you're too old to play under 19 footy, but would like to play under 19 footy, there's a great way that you can. We'll explain more very soon right here on Radio Chaser.
But look, first, not a good day to be the opposition leader of New South Wales. Has anyone heard the name Luke Foley before?
I know an Axel Foley from the Beverly Hills Cop series.
I know a Luke Skywalker from a movie. Yeah.
A little fun fact, Luke Foley is the current opposition leader, the leader of the Labor Party. Soon, I'm guessing, to be the ex-opposition leader.
After barely knew him.
He's been accused of sexual harassment at a Christmas party a few years ago by an ABC journalist. And in conversations with the victim, this was his defence.
I am.
This is why he thinks he shouldn't lose his job.
Yeah.
This is a direct quote from Mr. Foley. I'm not a philanderer. I'm not a groper. I'm just a drunk idiot. Now, if ever you needed a platform to go to the polls on, I'm just a drunk idiot, Luke Foley 2020. Can we see this working?
Well, I can see this working because whoever did the light rail for the government is probably a drunk idiot. Yeah. Like, I think there's been a long tradition of New South Wales being run by drunk idiots.
Well, going back to the Rum Rebellion.
Yes,
wasn't
exactly
that Hawke's platform for a lot? He kept getting in trouble, had some tears and said, I'm a drunk idiot, I didn't know what I was doing. That was the 80s, though.
So you think, far from being a faux pas to admit that he's a drunk idiot, you think this is electoral gold?
Well, I know what he did and I think he's out. But yeah, look, we like people who have a drink. Like, we like Albo because he's got his own beard, don't we?
Well, we remember Kevin Rudd, who was probably the most, you know, daggy, unelected person on the planet until he went to Scores nightclub in New York where he showed he was a little bit one of the boys. He didn't mind a drink. Maybe Foley's going for the Rudd Scores strategy.
Yeah, but Rudd didn't sexually harass somebody at a Christmas party. I mean, but what I love about the Luke Foley is how he didn't say, you know, I'm not a philanderer, I'm a really top bloke. The best he could do was, I'm a drunk idiot.
Do you think he was drunk at the time when he said that?
He's a shit face. Yeah.
Charles, you've had an interesting morning. Telling us about Radio Chaser on Triple M, by the way.
I almost got done by the fuzz.
The fuzz?
Oh, yeah. I'm a bit of a bad boy.
Now, that's not the beard that you were sporting. He's talking about the cops.
The cops, the fuzz, the cops.
The swings.
You're out of cliches after two.
You can't use the P word or they'll pick on you.
You couldn't even think boys in blue? No.
And this is actually a bit of a warning for people listening who are in the Sydney CBD, which is the cops are out in force today busting pretty big crimes. The crime of jaywalking.
Ooh,
people are going down. Yeah, so no, I was walking to work this morning and just at Key Street near Central Station. They had about five cops there and they were all booking people just crossing the tiny street. It's like 2 meter street. And I just absent-minded. I was thinking, why is everyone just waiting for the traffic light to go?
Yeah.
So I just walked across and luckily the cops were so busy booking other people that I actually got away. I made a run for it. It's sort of
boy. It's one of those crimes that you forget is a crime. Sydney is so pedestrian unfriendly at the moment because of all the roadworks and the light rail and everything. It's sort of unclear where you can walk and where you can't. So I would have thought our guard is down. The cops have decided this is the perfect time to get some people for jaywalking.
Yeah, and it's a big, it's $75. I looked it up. $75.
So look, if you want to arrest Charles Firth, 50 Goblin Street in the city, and he's off at 4 p.m.
But there are a lot of cops out today, and it's actually such a big crime wave at the moment that they've made a new movie about it.
When I was your age, we had a choice. Become a cop or become an outlaw.
Oh, which one did you choose?
Turned out I didn't have a choice. In the toughest city in the world, nobody fights crime like one man. I've seen it all. Littering, double parking. I've seen people smoking within 5 metres of a licensed eatery. A man keeping his city safe. But when you're staring face to face with someone willing to walk wherever he wants to, just because there are no cars coming in either direction, there's no choice but to fight. Safe, from itself.
This is not the regular police. This is an elite unit.
This is the man we're after, Frank the Jaywalker Baxter.
What's he done?
He was sighted crossing Pitt Street near Central against the lights. Jesus.
Frank, what's wrong?
I need to lay low for a while. I need to find somewhere no one would ever go. I'm heading down to Darling Harbour Harbourside Shopping Centre.
No, Frank, it's too boring.
A cop who wanted to enforce the law and ended up enforcing so much more.
Hello, Frank. Thought we wouldn't look in Harbourside. Just because it's really inconvenient to get to and only has shops selling Australiana memorabilia.
You'll never get me. I'm going to walk away across this street against the lights.
Frank, it's over. If we let you walk, then we have to let everyone walk. And then what would happen?
People would be able to walk around the city more easily.
You never understood, did you?
At least I got to see Nick's Bar and Grill one last time.
Sydney PNU, Pedestrian Nitpicking Unit. Because sometimes justice makes no sense.
10:40, all units, call in the SWAT. We've got reports of a car parked in a loading zone on Castle Ray.
Radio Chaser, Triple M.
The big US election yesterday. I want to catch up on some of the more interesting races we haven't talked about yet.
Titties.
Wiener. Pervert. Sleazeball.
The election is being rigged.
So the question is, who can get elected in America in 2018? I've got three candidates. I want you to tell me, I'll ask each of you in turn, do you think they got elected yesterday? The first, Andrew Hansen.
Yeah.
A guy who once recorded a rap song about jerking off. Here's a clip of that rap song, Lito. My imagination, better yet, my infatuation with self-love, i.e. masturbation. So he calls it self-love, i.e. masturbation. Do you think that guy got elected in the United States of America? What do you reckon?
Well, I have heard of the fact that he got a record deal suggests that he is very successful and popular. And, I mean, at least he's only sort of fiddling with himself, unlike the actual president. You know, it's probably he's probably too clean. He probably did not get elected because
he was too soft.
Yeah, yeah, he was actually too conservative.
He was just doing it all by himself.
Sort of, I mean, I've fallen a little bit behind with the whole rap thing. I, when I last listened to rap music, they were always boasting about, you know, how many hoes they had, how much sex they had. Has there been a whole shift in the rap genre where they just now are all wanking?
That's right. Yeah. Women no longer interested in them.
It's probably being innovative. Do you think he got elected? What's the call?
I'd say no.
He did. He got elected yesterday.
Oh, he got up.
Antonio Delgado, also known as
up.
AD The Voice. He was elected to Congress.
Was he a Republican or a Democrat?
Right. New York's not. Of course he's a Democrat. He's a wanker.
What's his platform?
New York 19th District. Since then, he's become a Rhodes Scholar and a lawyer. But the Republicans ran months of that clip on TV to try. But it's New York, so he won. So there you go. Well done, Congressman-elect Delgado, the second candidate. Charles, this is for you.
Yeah.
A man who once wrote a book of Bigfoot-themed erotica called The Mating Habits of Bigfoot and Why Women Want Him. Did he get elected yesterday?
Well, I presume the answer is yes, simply because all the answers are going to be yes. It's going to be
true.
Yes.
Yeah. He won in Virginia in the 5th. And look, this is a whole
is
genre.
Is he Republican?
Yeah, he is. Of course.
Yes, they are always kinky, the Republicans.
So the point is that Bigfoot erotica is a thing. And this has been talked about this in America for months.
It is. Wait a minute. Aren't all the photos blurry? It's going to be very satisfying.
And Dom is very excited by this news as a hairy man himself.
Yeah,
he knows he's going to move to the deep south of America. He'll finally find his market with the ladies.
One of the books that someone else wrote, because the people have written whole articles on this, Seduced by Bigfoot and Ravaged by the Yeti.
Right.
So check that out at your local bookshop. Now, the final one.
Republicans, just to break it down, I'm just trying to get my head around politics in America. Republicans.
ScoMo.
Like
the ScoMos.
Like having sex with fictional, abominable Yetis. And
yeah.
And Democrats like jerking themselves off.
Yeah, exactly right. So the third one, this is for you, Chris Taylor. In Nevada, a man who owns a bunch of brothels, including the Moonlight Bunny Ranch.
True.
And appeared on the HBO show Cat House. Do you think he got elected to the state assembly?
So he runs a brothel.
Yep.
in Nevada.
Yeah,
Nevada.
It was on a TV show.
And he's well known
as a pimp. So he's an actor.
A celebrity pimp.
So what an unusual double life this man leads. He's obviously a very successful actor. He's got an HBO series that's doing very well. And yet they're still not making quite enough money for him. Let's open a couple of brothels on the side.
Yeah. Do you think they elected him?
Of course they did.
Now, hang on. Would you change your answer if I told you he's dead? He died a month ago and all the polling places had signs saying this candidate is dead. Do you think he won?
He was dead on election day.
He died on October the 18th after the end of his 72nd birthday party at the brothel. He died.
Died at the brothel?
Yep.
Oh, not at the bunny house.
At the bunny house, I believe it might have been.
Well,
what do you think? Do you think he still got elected yesterday?
Well, it'd be very hard to door knock in a campaign when you're dead, I'm guessing. So no, no one would vote for a dead
man. You're wrong. The dead pimp got elected. So look, if you are a pimp who loves masturbating to Bigfoot erotica, you should run in America. You'll get elected.
Do you feel your age sometimes? Maybe not. Maybe sometimes you feel younger than you are, or maybe you're like me and you feel 104 every day. But look, you've got to admire this 69-year-old man in Holland, Emil. He's in a legal fight to get his age reduced by 20 years. And because he's complaining, guys, it's too hard to get a job, he says, and it's too hard to pick up on Tinder. He actually, this is what he said. It's translated from Dutch or whatever. Right. He said, when I'm on Tinder and it says I'm 69, I don't get an answer. When I'm 49, with the face I have, I will be in a luxurious position.
Imagine you went on a date with a guy who said he was 49, he's really 69, and he's crazy enough to lie about it.
I just would have thought putting the word 69 on your Tinder profile would somehow be helpful.
You'd get Wardy on board, wouldn't you?
What? But it's sort of like you can't change your age, isn't there? The law, like the birth certificate, is one of the most immutable documents there is.
It's how everyone gets ID.
It's his point. That's why he's got to go to court over this thing. He's got his doctor's advice, though. Like, he's got all the documents. The doctors say he's got the body of a man in his 40s. And he says it's discrimination if he's not allowed to be in his 40s, even though he's 69. So he wants the government to change his date of birth. And today, he started making even more crazy demands.
You again? I told you, sir, you can't change your date of birth.
I'd like to become a teenager. My doctor says I look 13.
Yesterday, your doctor said you looked 49.
I got a second opinion.
You can't just keep changing the day you were born on, sir.
I can. That's discrimination. And while you're at it, I'd like to change my official skin colour to black.
But you're clearly white.
That's discrimination. Why are only black people allowed to be black? Hello there, is this the Taylor Swift concert?
Yes.
I'd like to get on stage and perform.
No way.
Why should Taylor Swift get to perform at a Taylor Swift concert, but not me? It's discrimination.
Welcome to Cricket Australia, sir. How can I help?
I'd like to be captain of the Australian cricket team, please.
Certainly, sir. We'll take anyone.
Finally, the least discriminating place on earth.
Radio Chaser. Triple M.
The Philosophy Department of Cambridge University, in association with Triple M, presents The Ethical Dilemmas of a 9-Year-Old.
Yes, this is a segment where I take questions that my real 9-Year-old son has posed to me.
As opposed to your fictional 9-Year-Old son.
Yeah, that's right. And and put them to the panel of Chris, Andrew and Dom. So the first one is, when you grow up, would you prefer to have a large bald patch or a full head of hair?
Oh, come on. This is just beleaguered my bald patch.
Gee, I need some thinking music on this one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no man knows the answer to this.
And the question is specifically about, you know, like a large bald patch with a sort of a rim of hair.
Like monk style. Those old Friskin monks. Monks.
Like daddy. Like daddy's getting. That's what this is. This is your son bullying
like
you,
daddy,
Charles.
Because has he noticed, Charles, the changes that are appearing on your head?
No, I always wear a cap whenever I'm around my son.
Well, I guess I guess where he's coming from is there's a lot of, you know, positive role models who have the bald.
Yes, exactly.
You know, Larry David, George Costanza, you know, possibly that's the same person. But you know what I mean? Like there's you know, throughout history. Yeah. Dom Knight. I mean, there's some very, very impressive people that are facially challenged.
Yeah.
And so I guess if you were to be a good father, you'd want to encourage that and not sort of vilify baldness. But if it was my son, I'd say, God, no, you want the full head of hair.
Yeah. What interests me is that your son seems to think that this is a 50-50 option and not that it's obviously terrible to be bald. I mean, why does he think this is a dilemma?
No, he wants to be bald. He wants the bald
head. Oh, he wants to be bald.
He says he thinks it looks good and it looks sort of...
Can we see a hair surgeon to get a transplant? I'm on board.
And my dad, like his papa, has a completely bald patch on the top of his head.
It does save time. Look, to speak up for being bald, you're very slick through the water. You're like a seal.
Yeah.
Very quick in the morning getting ready. No wasting money on haircuts.
You
it's very efficient and quick.
You save a fortune in shampoo.
No, none of that fancy sort of spray product for the hair. None of that.
In fact, you've kind of sold me, Domo. It's sort of a wonder that women don't all want to go bald too.
Exactly. There we go. Thank you. Okay, next one. When you grow up... Would you like to have 20 children or no children? Which would you prefer?
Oh, either or. That's a great
question. Either or.
That's a better question.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the first one was hopeless. Well, speaking as the only childless person here, I think I have to go for 20 because I don't know the hell that children can be. So I've got a very positive, optimistic, rose-coloured view of parenthood. But I'd be interested to hear from the parents on this one.
Yeah, no, don't have them.
I think all parents would give you a consensus answer. No children.
I think 20 though. That's quite a lot to play with, and it could get very efficient. Like if you think of the movie The Hunger Games, if you put your 20 kids in a kind of electrified force field, got them to fight it out, you'd make a lot of money. You wouldn't have to look after them.
It's sort of like spread betting too. You know, we had the Melbourne Cup this week and some people bet on 20 horses just in the hope one will come good. Yeah. It's a bit like that with children. You know 19 of them will be duds, but maybe one will be all right. Now you look that you are on Radio Chaser. And look, when you do a show like this, you sometimes get in a bubble. You sometimes think you're the only radio show on the whole airwaves and you've kind of got to pinch yourself and remind, you know, people that there are other options on the dial. So why don't we just twiddle that dial now to see what else is making waves on the radio.
No new ideas and no ambition. This is 101 FM, Sydney's laziest place to relax. And, Tugger, did you see this story in the papers about this guy? Oh, he's had an absolute shocker. He's gone and texted his missus, right?
Yeah.
And it's quite a lovey-dovey text, you know, quite saucy, if you know what I mean. And he's accidentally sent the text to his boss by mistake.
Oh, no. Oh, what a shocker. How would you feel?
Oh, dear. Look, we've dead set all been there. Like, I once wrote a sexy text to my wife, but I accidentally sent it to my boss.
Yeah, well,
look, a similar thing happened to me once. This is how relatable this content is. I was composing a text to my missus, right? Quite fruity, little bit personal. You'll never guess what I did. I accidentally sent it to my boss.
Oh, no.
What a Barry.
Let's go to the phones on this. Give us a call if you've ever accidentally sent a sexy text to your boss.
Yep, that's today's Talkback 101 topic, where we find a story in the news and then ask you guys to ring in with extremely similar stories.
Colin's given us a call. G'day, Colin.
Hey, guys. Really love the formula.
Have you got a story for us?
Yeah, well, the other day I sent a text message to my wife, but I accidentally sent it to my boss.
Oh, no way. Great content. Thanks, Colin. And we've got Jared on the line. Hey, Jared, we're looking for stories about the time you accidentally sent a raunchy text to your boss.
Yeah, well, I wrote a pretty raunchy text to my wife once, but I accidentally sent it to my boss by mistake.
Oh, no!
I think that's the best one yet!
Thanks for your calls. We'll do it all again next hour, right here on the home of laziness, 101 FM.
Radio Chaser on Triple M.
Triple M, this is Radio Chaser, where it's time for...
$1 million Idea!
Yes, the segment where we put our thinking caps on here on the team and try to come up with an invention that not even Silicon Valley has come up with yet. And look, I don't know about you guys. This morning I got a hell of a shock coming into work where I discovered I came across these new share bikes.
What?
Lime green share bikes were just mysteriously placed around the inner city of Sydney.
Didn't we do that? Didn't we kind of go through that whole cycle?
Well, this was my surprise because, yeah, I thought there was sort of collective agreement was that they were a nuisance, they were a nightmare, no matter how well-intentioned they were to get people cycling. The users weren't sufficiently respectful and were always tossing them into rivers and dumping them up trees. So I thought it was very brave for someone to come out with a new one, but their innovation is it's green.
Ah, now, Chris, are you sure that these just aren't like disgorged ones from the river that have kind of, you know, seeped out and they're covered in green slime? Are these really new bikes?
That's very possible. That's just a bit of algae. Or someone's given them a lick of paint after getting them out of the river.
Yeah, no, but what I'm wondering is, though, these are the electronic ones, aren't they?
Well, electric. Yeah. We have been, it's not just that they're green. Yeah. They're electric. They run on a lithium battery. So it's sort of a motor scooter. Mm. And they're very, it's a US company called Lime.
Yeah.
Only currently in the inner cities, sort of around Darlinghurst, Surrey Hills and the CBD. But apparently they get up to about 20 Ks an hour. Now, I don't know if that's quick or not.
So, yeah, no, that's pretty quick. Yeah, that's good for a bike. 25
faster than light rail.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, faster than driving in Sydney.
Right.
I'm a bit concerned. Like, because I went bike shopping just the other day, and, like, an electric bike is about $1,200. But these are the bikes to steal.
Right.
Well, that's fantastic news.
Like, go and steal them. We'd say Castle Ray Street.
I'm sure they're around the city at the moment. I'm not encouraging anyone steals them. I'm kind of more interested in, you know, like Sydney being Sydney, how long it takes for a really good product like an electric bike.
Yeah.
How long before we start trashing these ones? Like, do you reckon if we walk home today, there'll just be one in the harbour?
100%. Yeah. Of course. And people will come up with more creative things to do with them because they've got the battery in them and the motor. Like, they won't be just like chucked in rivers. They'll be sort of turned into sort of strange boats.
Yeah.
Going.
In fact, give us a call here at Radio. If you've already seen some dickhead try to trash one of these new lime green bikes on day one that they've been released into the city, we'd love to hear from you. But anyway, to my idea, it's been inspired by these bikes.
I am.
I kind of think, you know, it's sort of in that territory, but I think they've missed the market because, you know, only really young people really have the energy to ride bikes. Mm. Here's an idea. Share mobility scooters.
Ooh.
Every time I go up to the supermarket, I don't see anyone on a bike. Everyone's on these mobility scooters, and they tend to be slightly old people, and it's like a Formula One of mobility scooters. That's what's crying out.
And also, they always get right of way. Like, they have that little beep button.
Yep.
And then they beep you, and you got to, you know, not get the Weet-Bix because they've got to get through
it. It could be world first. Australia be the share mobility scooter capital of the world.
And you know what? Instead of having bike helmets like they have for free, they should have grey hair wigs.
Grey hair wigs.
For free. Put it on. I'll go and one look better. Like an old one.
One better. Grey hair wigs with hair rollers already inside. Yeah, they accidentally left the hairdresser midway through because they were too senile to realise the haircut wasn't over.
There's another whole market you're missing out on, Taylor, which is the pissed idiot market. I mean, mate, put them outside a pub, everyone's going to take one home. And Luke Foley could be the spokesman for this product as soon as he's punted out of Parliament in about an hour. Because pissed idiots.
It's too hard to find a cab.
Find a cab. Yeah. Ubers don't come. Uber's surge
getting,
pricing.
It's getting expensive with surge. And yeah, if you put share mobility scooters.
Mm.
Oh, that's a red rag to a pissed idiot, isn't it?
104.9 Triple M Radio Chaser.
Cat's pyjamas or
cat's piss?
Got a dilemma for you, Chris, Charles and Andrew. You're about to get on a plane. Look, you board the plane. The seat that you're about to sit in, it's covered in poo. It's covered in poo. It's clearly covered in poo. It looks disgusting. Okay. It smells horrible.
This is another Tiger Airways story.
Yeah.
Your standard choices part of the are, service. The flight attendants say to you, you can either sit in this seat for 2 hours or catch a later plane. Those are your two options.
What? No, you go, sorry, there's a third option. You clean the poo up.
No, they're not offered to. So
what airline is this?
It's Delta in the US. Right. He's flight from Atlanta to Miami. He flies all the time, this guy, and that was the two things. He said to the host, excuse me, there's shit on my seat. Well, either get off the plane or just put up with it. Those are the choices. What do you reckon? Which would you choose?
It's not even a conundrum, is it?
Like, you just go on a later flight.
Like, I know. The standard of US airlines isn't particularly what we're used to in Australia, but I think as a basic minimum, you don't expect a turd to be on your seat.
Mm. Well, I don't know. It depends how urgent it is to catch the flight. I mean, you know, if you've got to you've got to go and meet a date or something like that, then maybe you would just sit in the poo.
How's the date going to go when you turn up reeking?
Well, at least you're there, you know.
Which is worse for a date?
Do we know? Was it human feces? Because I know there's a lot of support animals on American Airlines.
Very
now.
Well done, Chris Taylor. The explanation was apparently an ill emotional support animal.
Oh, so, well, that's fine then.
Because there's elephant poo and then there's like.
They didn't say which animal.
You know, a chicken poo.
Surely the least the airline could have done is given him, the passenger, an emotional support animal to take him through.
Or an emotional support shovel and hose.
But he had some emotional support poo. I mean, that can be very comforting as well.
Certain breeds of dog, they would have cleaned that right up for him. All right, well, there's no. We haven't chosen. You guys don't want to choose. That's fine. Let's move on. Imagine that you're the son of Peter Andre and his ex-wife, Katie Price. Imagine your name is Junior Andre.
The son of Peter Andre.
Yeah, he's got a son.
Okay. I'd sooner take the poo seat.
So Junior Andre.
Junior
Andre. That's his name. He's refusing to spend time with his dad. He's a teenager. He won't spend time with his dad
really
at all.
Sad.
He refuses to do it.
Is it because Peter Andre's not bald?
Or is it because he's Peter Andre? I mean,
you may just want to listen to his music.
But that's really sad.
I mean, I guess, you know, all teenagers go through that sort of sullen period where you're a bit embarrassed about your folks. And I imagine that's tenfold the case when your dad is Peter Andre and your mum. Is Jordan the mum?
Yeah.
Cat's pajamas. I think I'd be getting the first Delta plane out of there.
Yeah, good for him. Cat's pajamas for me too. How old is Junior Andre? Is he four?
No, he's a teenager and he refuses to go to the family farm.
As long as he's not channeling all that, you know, mopey emotions into music, then I think that'll be fine.
13 years old, the daughter's called Princess Andre.
Oh, God.
Oh, well, there you go. I mean, she gets to be called the princess and he's Junior. He's named after a hamburger. I mean, this is a very, very awful situation.
All right.
Triple M's Radio Chaser.